Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Miss Rachel's net worth is estimated to be around $6.5 million. So how much would you pay for her to show up to your kid's birthday party?
I mean, it just sounds amazing to me, honestly, that it's that low. Once you've spent a little bit of time with Miss Rachel, you realize she's doing God's work, Anna.
Oh, is she?
She's taking care of all the kids across the globe, and she's doing a great job at it.
Well, another stat says that she's worth $17.6 million, but I don't know what I believe.
Feel low to me.
Okay.
She should be up there hundreds of millions of dollars already.
Be kidding me.
She is wonderful. She's doing a great job. Don't know about that husband, though. I got my eye on you, Aaron.
So if you're not familiar with Miss Rachel, if you have small children in your life, you know who she is. She sings and she just addicts the children to her. She started on a YouTube channel. Now she's got some Netflix specials, right?
It's more than that. Like, she really does help with kids' speech development, sounding out words, singing. Like, I mean, she's brilliant. And they're doing signing and everything on the show. Yeah. She's really wonderful.
She's Mr. Rogers of 2025.
Yes.
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 Yeah.
And crushing it.
Yeah.
Crushing it.
But so much so that people are impersonating her and going to children's birthday parties. And I thought, what? How do you impersonate Miss Rachel and show up to a birthday party? And how much does that gig pay?
Well, you know, Miss Rachel needs helpers. Right? She can't be everywhere at once because she's already lining up for her next video or whatever. So it's okay. I'm fine with that. I mean, there's a certain age where you want the big wig that's going to be at your party, right? Where you look around and you do that. So if somebody can bring the persona of Miss Rachel and talk to, you know, toddlers, I think that's pretty easy. That's probably a victory there.
I have never understood the fascination with having the impersonators at your birthday party or at your kid's party. It's different. Sometimes Disney princesses like Ariel and Cinderella would show up at my kids' birthdays, and that's a different story. Like, that I understand. But I can't tell you the amount of kids' birthday parties that I went to last year with my little one, my six-year-old.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift impersonators were there.
Oh my gosh, really?
So many.
Taylor Swift just shows up all over the place.
And they must not be paying them a whole lot because their wigs were not great.
Yeah, you didn't feel it.
No, definitely not. I was like, I don't need a Taylor Swift impersonator. Like, if Taylor Swift isn't coming to my birthday party, I'm just going to sign off on the fact that she's busy.
Right, don't tell your friends that Taylor Swift is showing up and then it's, you know, it's like Tina Smith, right? Like, so it's unfortunate, but it's that fine line. It's like magic almost, right? It has to be that line where you're still a believer. You can still dispel that and believe in the magic.
Who do you want to show up to your birthday party that's an impersonator?
Well, you know, I mean, at this age, I'm thinking, no, not a thing for me. But I'm thinking that if I was a preteen or a teenager, I would have liked just like a group of break dancers to show up.
Yeah.
I was really into Breaking One and Breaking Two. So if they could have had Special K, Turbo, and Ozone out there, I believe one of them's dead now. But if they could have the other two out there right now, that would be cool. And like, but they would show up and they weren't, you know, they weren't like mean break dancers. Like, they didn't want a dance battle so much as like dance party with you.
Okay.
Right.
I had a very similar situation for my husband's
break dancers.
No. 25th birthday. I rented out a bar for 100 of our closest friends and I hired a clown, but he had to be a sad clown. So he had to just sit in the corner and be sad and do balloons the whole night, but he could never crack a smile.
What?
And
he accepted that job.
100%.
Yeah. Was he excited about it?
No, he was sad.
Who wants to act sad? Right. Like, I mean, that's painful.
And then I got an Elvis impersonator. But he could be jolly.
He could be fine.
He was fine. He, you know, he sang on the bar all night. He had a grand old time. But that poor clown just sitting in the corner handing out lollipops, blowing up balloons with a sad face the whole time. He was worth every penny. It was hilarious.
I mean, why?
Because I have a sixth sense of humor. What do you want from me? You want to lose weight? You only have to starve yourself 3 days a week.
What?
Kind of. All right, trending is powered by NHTSA. Crashes can happen to even the safest of drivers. That's where driver assistance technologies like lane keeping assistance come in. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/driver tech, paid for by NHTSA. They've done a bunch of new research, and they found that fasting and the intermittent fasting, which you've heard a whole lot about over the last few years, is back. But this time, you don't need to do it every single day. And these are the people that they don't eat from, you know, they only eat for like 4 hours a day, or they only eat for 6 hours a day, depending on what kind of fasting they're doing.
Okay.
They call it the 4-3 intermittent fasting diet.
All right.
Those who intermittently fasted just 3 days a week did not have to be consecutive, just pick random 3 days, compared to those who calorie restricted lost more weight, about 6 pounds more at the end of the year.
So all you have to do is pick 3 days out of the week.
Yeah.
They don't have to be like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They could be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or however you want to figure it out. If you want to go crazy on the weekends, go crazy on the weekends. And on those fasting days, you only eat between 500 and 600 calories.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
I mean, that's like water.
Well,
like you tap a little bit of salt into your water, like you're at 500-600 calories.
Honestly, if you eat really clean, because remember, when people think of the fasting diet,
yeah,
they think, well, then you eat your breakfast, lunch, and dinner, like you just keep eating for 5 hours between 12 and 5. That's not really how it's supposed to work. You're supposed to be eating less calories during that time.
My brother-in-law fasted, and I swear to God, the guy lost probably like 60 to 80 pounds. Looks fantastic. I mean, it got to the point where I was like, bro, you need to go back to eating regular, because he was like getting so thin. I was like, it's working so good. Like he got addicted to it almost.
I think it depends on the person.
Yeah.
So full. And then on the days that you're not fasting, those four other days a week, you're not supposed to go crazy and go eat all fast food and French fries and all that. You're supposed to still eat a healthier diet.
Yeah,
but you don't have.
Part.
But you don't have to be super restrictive how you would be if you were on a quote unquote diet. The thing about the fasting is that I just get hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a problem.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, it makes it really difficult.
I had to fast earlier this week for a blood test, and I had to do it a couple weeks ago, and I swear it almost killed me every time. But the funny thing is that my wife has been talking to me about fasting, because obviously something has to be done. The system that I'm in right now, Anna, is not working.
Huh.
So, you know, behind the scenes, I bring this up to Anna and you tell me like there's these multiple methods. And I'm like, no, that's not the method I'm going to do. That's not this one.
But then you don't do any method.
Well, this is the thing is I'm looking it up right now, right? And I'm seeing this, you know, this whatever, 3-4, 4-3. There's a 5-2 version. There's the 16-8, which is you don't eat for 16 hours of the day. You only eat within 8 hours. We got a problem here. And then there's the alternate day fasting, which is basically like you eat for 24 hours and then you don't eat for the next day or whatever. I thought the 16-8 method was reversed. So I thought it was you don't eat for 8 hours and then for 16 hours you can eat.
And let me guess, those 8 hours were the 8 hours you were sleeping?
Well, I mean, I sleep like 5 to 6 hours a night. So, I mean, I figured like if I could just do that and make it, you know, halfway through the show, I'd be in pretty good shape. But this 16-8 thing seems like a whole different ballgame.
But remember, during the fasting, like the times that you are allowed to eat.
Yeah.
You can't just eat everything.
Yeah.
You just eat one meal. But now, full disclosure, when I was researching the audio to play during this segment,
sure.
I did find old stuff from a year ago where researchers also said that fasting could give you a heart attack and kill you.
Oh, well, great.
So there's that. But do you think you could do it? Do you think you could fast? I mean, how long could you fast for?
Could I fast longer than it takes for me to have a heart attack? I mean,
yes.
I mean, I think that I could try it. Is what obviously again something has to be done. So I would be willing to try.
Okay.
Gosh, I don't even know how I'm going to do this.
Oh, you're already making.
I don't even know how I can do it.
All right, to be continued.
Yes.
It has universally been decided that the most annoying thing that people do in 2025 is talk on speakerphone while in public.
Oh yeah.
Right. We all had a discussion about this, and Raven, producer Julie, it was one of those moments where it was so. Random because we never all agree on something. We're all like, yep, what's wrong with those people? Like, why don't they have any self-awareness whatsoever?
I feel like there's a certain amount of performance aspect for a good percentage of those people that are doing it. Like, I think that some people are unaware, genuinely, but I do think that there's like a high percentage of people that really think it makes them a big shot to be on a speakerphone in public. And the crazier stuff that they're talking about or whatever, it's like shock and awe. Some people just get off on it. It's weird.
It's so weird.
It's very weird. But to me, it's totally performance.
You know where I see a whole lot of it?
What's up?
TJ Maxx, Marshalls.
Yes.
Anytime that there's racks of clothing that people have to go through at a discount price.
Yes. Lots of browsing.
Yes. I feel like everybody is on speakerphone or on FaceTime. I'm like, what are you? What? Like,
oh, I'm so guilty of that, though.
But I don't know.
What?
Wait
not
a minute.
The speakerphone, the FaceTime, though, which
why?
Is kind of speakerphone. Because it's like,
totally
it's
speakerphone.
It's
microphone.
No, I agree. It's like you're out, I don't know, you're browsing and you're just, it's like you've got a little friend with you.
Who
you
are you talking to when you're browsing?
Mostly Aaron, my boyfriend.
Okay, but is he telling you what to buy and not to buy? Because I can't tell anything through that little screen.
Sometimes it's like, oh, like, hey, what did you think about this? Or like, I'll FaceTime my mom, like, hey, am I buying the right, like, saucepan or something? I don't know, stuff like that.
No, but no, connecting for a minute or 90 seconds to ask somebody whether or not your purchase is valid is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Walking through the store and doing your shopping while on FaceTime or speakerphone is something else entirely.
That's
so which
a lot.
Which one are you doing?
I'm the check-in kind of gal.
Okay.
The 90 seconds, the minute. But
I accept that.
All
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but I think that there's weirder situations that have arisen. And Julie, what happened?
Okay, so I was at the DMV and this woman sits right next to me. She plops down next to me with her kid, who's probably like 5. And she's on the phone on speaker with who I would presume is her baby daddy.
Okay.
From the terms she was using.
Okay. Like baby daddy?
Right.
Like honey bunny?
Honey boo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Honey boo. Nice.
Mm-hmm. And right. She's telling him about an instance that she had with another man.
Mm-hmm.
And terms of, you know, thighs were brought up.
Okay.
And I'm looking around and I'm like, does anybody else hear this? Nobody else is looking around at me. I'm like, this lady? Mm-mm.
That's because you're at the DMV and everybody's just mad.
Wait a minute. What was wrong with the thighs?
No, Raven, stop. No.
Okay.
No. So is she trying to make the baby daddy on the phone jealous of the situation she had?
So many questions. Like, why are you telling him about this? Should he be concerned? I'm concerned.
You should raise your hand and ask.
I should.
What if she just raised her hand and she's like, excuse me, ma'am?
I have a question on the
pot. One of those poly relationships, maybe? I don't know. Right? She didn't turn over. You didn't at any point be like, yes, girl.
No.
Or, you know, none of that. Like, you didn't yes, queen. None of that.
What's funny is when she got called up for her turn,
yeah,
she kept it on speaker the whole time.
Of course, you're not stopping that. You can't stop the conversation.
I feel like at the DMV, it's the one place where they're like, get out. Like, you know, you're
it's like TSA.
Yes, depends exactly.
Depends on the person walking up.
Oh.
Depends on the person walking up.
Here's what I want to suggest. These people should be fined. If I have to citizen arrest somebody for being on speakerphone in public, I'll be the first person to do it.
You know what's going to happen?
What?
You're just going to get beat up on camera. Like, because they've already got their cell phone in their hand.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You're going to be labeled a Karen? It's not going to go well.
There's no winning situation here. But I would love to, if you're one of these people that talk on speakerphone everywhere you go, what are you thinking?
Right. Explain.
Anna and Ravens, Pick'em News.
It's 3 news stories. You only hear about one, and Raven chooses which one it is. Pick'em News is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/AnnaAndRaven.
Lay it on me.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Number one, $2.5 million lottery ticket left in pocket of jacket donated to charity.
Oh, gosh.
Second option, man tried to steal $15,000 worth of Pokemon cards. And number three, man has no idea who's putting gallons of urine in his recycling bin.
I mean, now we all know that that's a common problem, so we'll stay away from that one.
Is it?
We're going to go with give me the lottery.
Okay. I just have a hard time with this.
How is it that somebody could even know that they've lost something, right? Like,
so,
what's going on here?
She's a 76-year-old woman in Pennsylvania, and she is desperately searching for a winning lottery ticket worth $2.5 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was stupefied. There's no words for it. It was like beyond expression. How can I get it back?
She thinks she left it in the pocket of a jacket that she donated to the Vietnam Veterans of America.
Well, how does she understand that she has the winning ticket, though? Like, how does someone come to know that? Like, I don't know that.
So, when I first heard this story, yeah, I thought, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Right, of course.
And that wasn't... Then I saw her in the cute little, all the news things, and I was like, aw.
Because she was 76, you automatically believed her?
Yeah.
Didn't you see Dirty Dancing? It was that old couple that was stealing the wallets.
You only make references to movies that are over 30 years old. Okay.
Dirty Dancing?
Yeah.
The required movie for women. Required. You didn't see it?
Just for women?
Terrible.
Okay.
I can't believe it.
All right. I was just thinking about it, and I mean, the only thing I can think of is that it's either the numbers that she plays all the time.
Okay.
So the numbers came out, and she's like, those are my numbers.
Right.
Where's my ticket?
Right, and nobody else has claimed those numbers. That would be one thing.
Yeah. Or the other thing is that she just figures that the winning, you know how when they let you know where the winning ticket was sold?
Yeah, of course.
So she figured out, oh my gosh, it was me, and I took that thing and I put it in my pocket. Now, here's the thing.
Pennsylvania Lottery says, you know, they feel bad, but they can't do anything. I mean, if she doesn't have the ticket.
Right. I mean, there's no proof there, right? Like, if they believe she had the numbers, if she had the ticket, then they would probably be able to do something.
I would think so.
Yeah.
But not. They can't.
But nobody else has come forward either.
No. But then I was wondering, I was like, do they have like it on camera? You know, like when they have at the drugstores wherever you buy your lottery tickets?
Yeah, sure.
Like, do they have her on camera buying this ticket?
I don't know if you can counter that at the same time saying that the number was spit out from this machine. I mean, either way, if they're not willing to pay her without the ticket, then it sounds like it's going to be a bad time.
She says, crying out loud.
Yeah.
I hope that something positive will happen on my end. That ticket expires on May 8th. That ticket it's coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not happening.
No.
I mean, if you found that in a jacket anyways, too, you buy a jacket from someplace that, you know, had it donated or whatever, or you grab a jacket from it, you reach inside, you see a lottery ticket, you don't think to yourself, this is a winner.
Well, right, but you still check it, don't you?
No.
So here's the thing. I never do, to tell you the truth.
Old tickets I come across, no.
I have a stack of old tickets that I still haven't
see,
checked.
You haven't checked them.
I could be a millionaire
exactly
right now.
Exactly my point.
But how do you even claim that ticket, the karma? Because you have to, like, once you claim it, somebody does that, right?
If I got $2.5 million in my hand, karma's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
It's all up to me at this point. I make those decisions.
I think I feel terrible. I return the money to her, and hopefully she'll give me, like, $50 and a high five.
Get out of here.
If you speed while you're driving, country is cracking down on you. You know what I realized, Raven?
What's that?
I speed. You want to know how I realized it?
Everybody speeds.
Yeah, but I'm teaching my daughter how to drive.
Yeah.
She just got her learner's permit.
Mm-hmm.
And she points it out to me now all the time. She's like, you're going 17 miles over the speed limit. You're going 7 miles over the speed limit. And I'm like, can you stop?
I mean, like, that's significant, right?
Right.
Like, so, I mean, and on average, most of us speed, at least on the highway, city streets, like, it's painful. I mean, didn't you say to me, like, you can't go 25?
Well, you don't, so I...
like, you're not able to do it.
Yeah, there's, I did, like, the parent-teacher for driving school.
Yeah.
And they said that once you teach yourself how to drive over the speed limit, it's almost impossible for you to drive the speed limit.
To go back.
And I started paying attention, and they're right. It's 100% right. And now the country is cracking down. Three stories.
Okay.
In the last 24 hours.
Go.
One, there is a town outside of Philadelphia that's painted its roads wavy. And here's why.
This is actually a legitimate traffic calming measure put in place by Montgomery Township Police in an effort to get people to slow down.
It's crazy. It looks like you're in a video game. The lanes are actually wavy.
But I mean, is there any sort of, like, you know, curbage around these or whatever? Because I figure, like, people, if they're used to driving straight, they're just going to keep driving straight no matter how you paint the lines.
No, the cars are going like that. And if you listen to the interviews with people that are doing it, they say it's nuts. It's like you're in a video game. But It's making people drive slower
because
it's impossible to drive straight and go fast.
Yeah, you'll ram into each other if you're curving along these lines. Okay.
Exactly. All right. How about the second one? They've been talking about doing this for a long time, but San Francisco has actually put it into play.
According to a proposal, some drivers may not be able to afford to pay the citation. The proposed pilot program would require the court to provide an adjusted fine for traffic citations based on a person's monthly income.
So your new speeding ticket is based on how much money you make, and San Francisco has put this into play. So let's see. It ranges from $50 to $500.
No.
But if you're considered quote-unquote low income, that's $45,000 a year or less,
sure,
you get half off. But if you make more than that...
How does that deter speeding? I mean, it just says to you, well, you're getting a better bargain. There's nothing like when you get pulled over and you don't have a lot of money and you get a massive ticket. That's usually a lesson that I learn. Not like, oh, hey, here's a reduction for you.
Right, here you go.
Okay, that doesn't seem to be... I'll go with the wavy lines over that. What else do you have?
If you have six or more speeding violations in the city, you could potentially get a device installed in your vehicle that will prevent you from going over the speed limit.
Okay.
New York State lawmakers, they're pushing a bill right now that's going to force bad drivers to install the technology in their car that stops them from speeding. So it's like a breathalyzer ignition. So it doesn't let you go 5 miles over the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is for, like she said, for people that
problem
have more
drivers.
than 11 points on their license. And it's not new technology. because a lot of cars in Europe already have it, and the state of Virginia already uses it.
It's just basically a limiter, which, you know, they've been putting on go-karts for 100 years and you know, pissing off kids that are 12 years old. I'm not against, too. They've been talking about the breathalyzer thing in all cars for a long time, too, and everybody feels like it's an infringement upon rights. I don't have a problem with that, right? Like, if you get in the car and blow into that thing and you shouldn't be driving, that's okay. And if you are a problem driver, you've had that many tickets, I guess. I don't know. It's not that bad of an idea, that one.
It gives me a lot of anxiety, but realizing what I'm realizing right now about my driving,
yeah,
maybe not the worst thing, but the wavy line's weird.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Yeah, when you're half asleep, you're not even going to realize.
Amazon is reportedly making a last-minute bid to buy TikTok here in the U.S. Of course, Oracle and Blackstone have also been in this process, and there are open questions about whether or not China will actually sell. But once again, Amazon putting in a last-minute bid to buy TikTok here in the U.S.
You know who else put in a last-minute bid?
Who's that?
The guy that owns OnlyFans. But he teamed up with a family-friendly crypto company or something like that?
That's a family-friendly crypto company.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he's promising he won't do it the same way as OnlyFans. Obviously, the platform's been working. OnlyFans is making a ton of money.
I don't know what's going to happen. So
somebody's going to do something. There's going to be a deal or some sort of extension again. They're not going to turn it off.
Here's what's going to happen. So Saturday is the deadline for TikTok once again. Remember, it was originally back a few months ago.
Around the inauguration.
Right. And President Trump said, time out. Everybody, hold on a minute. Let me just get everything straightened out. I'm going to broker a deal. We need more time. So he put this extension in place. Now, remember, this is a bipartisan deal that TikTok has to be sold. Otherwise, it can't be used anymore here in the United States.
One of those rare times where people agreed in the last decade.
Yes. So now Saturday is the deadline, and all these companies
from
have
the
come
extension.
Forward.
Yeah.
Correct. Now, President Trump has already said, we have a lot of potential buyers. There's a lot of interest in TikTok. The decision is going to be my decision. So I'm not really sure what that means, but here's what I can almost guarantee you. Nothing's happening on Saturday.
Right. It's going to be some sort of extension again. Because,
yes.
I mean, listen, how does he get to decide who it is that they actually sell to? I think he gets to decide whether or not they, you know, enforce the situation coming up the day after or whatever. So last time it was, you know, China that was rolling it back and saying, well, no more updates. We're not going to fix it. This thing is going to trail off at this point. But obviously they make a ton of money.
I don't think China's going to sell. That's how I feel.
They got to take on a partner, right? Like, I mean, if this is a regulation that we have said and they want to operate here, and certainly they do, they want that money, then they got to take on a partner.
Well, we'll see. But I can almost guarantee you nothing's happening on Saturday.
Yeah, your TikTok's still going to be on.
Maybe.
I wouldn't freak out.
Well, remember, my daughter deleted it last time because she listened to everybody. I didn't delete it because I'm never on it, so I didn't even think about it.
Didn't make any difference to you.
Right.
I seriously doubt that they're just going to shutter the entire thing.
Well, we're going to find out on Saturday. When nothing happens, everybody will be disappointed.
Here's what I know. There's money to make. Somebody wants to make money.
All right.
That's usually the rule, right?
Speaking of making money, fast food chains, they're only ones that are doing relatively well at this point.
Yeah.
But they did a study to find out which ones screw up your orders the most.
Okay.
Coming in number one. KFC. They get 2 out of 10 orders wrong over the past 6 years.
I mean, that is a high percentage. That's a good amount of orders that they get
everybody.
Wrong all the time, right?
Also didn't do well. Taco Bell, Wendy's, and Dunkin', all of them have room to improve.
For me, Taco Bell is notorious. It's always that way.
Chick-fil-A is consistently the best with an average order accuracy rate of 92%. That is a well-oiled machine when you go to Chick-fil-A.
When you pull up there, when they've got the people standing outside and two lines are going busy and you get every, like, it's a miracle. I don't even know how it works.
A bigger question I have for you, Raven, is that when you get your order wrong and you're in the drive-thru, what do you do? Do you go inside? Do you just accept it?
It really depends on what time of day it is and what state of mind I'm in. You know, basically where I am on my path. Because, you know, if you go back in there, it's going to take you 10 minutes or whatever, right? And chances are if your order's screwed up, you probably already waited a good amount of time. A lot of times I don't find out my order's wrong until I've driven away anyways. There's no way I'm turning back. I tell myself I'm going to call or do that thing online. Like, you know, there's a receipt stuff. You never do it.
I accept whatever they've given me if it's me, and I accept that is my fate. But for some reason, my kids will always make me go inside, and that makes me crazy.
Yes.
And yeah, because they're like, Mom will go, Mom, there's no honey mustard. Yeah,
just imagine when they're 18, they'll have to correct their own orders.
I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Producer Julie went viral and she wasn't ready for all the backlash that came along with it. I told you, People are nasty, Julie.
It's intense
out here. People
hate
on you if you get big.
Yeah. All right. So explain the TikTok that you went. How many views does it have now?
27.3 million views.
That's a lot of views.
Yeah, it's going up.
So explain what happened.
Okay, so what happened was I saw a video about the posture that a man should have when proposing to a woman, how they should be up straight. So I thought that was a great idea. So I made my own version of it. And it blew up overnight because I'm saying that the person should be up straight, not slouched over like a hunchback when they're proposing.
Yeah, pop the hips.
Pop the hips.
I remember hearing you say that, pop the hips.
Yep. So that was really taken well by people, except for the original creator, who her and her posse got very mad that I didn't tag her.
The TikTok influencer gang posse.
No, yes. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I've been that person where people have stolen my material and my content. I don't do anything because I'm a grown up and I don't, like, what are you going
to
do?
You don't have a posse to sick on them?
Well, no, my posse goes after them no matter what.
You're no different then. You're the exact same person.
But I don't do it. And I don't care because, like, who cares? But I don't make my money that way. So to me, that's the difference. It's like if you're a content creator and you're creating original content, and if you are on social media, you know everybody copies your stuff, everybody copies work. You see the same version of the same reel or the same TikTok 17 different times. And there was an original person that came up with that idea first.
Let me just reset on all this. Mm-hmm. All right. Tell with that person. Who cares? All right. She had an idea. It wasn't the most original idea that ever happened in the world. Somebody did this years ago before every time people have talked about proposals forever.
Well, this is
so you guys are both being super nice to somebody that we don't even know and who doesn't care.
I did tag her after the fact. I was like, well, all right, fair enough. I wouldn't have done that.
But I will tell you something. I had a Professor Klager, I had him at my undergraduate at Pace University, and Professor Klager once said to me a million years ago, before Instagram and TikTok existed, he said, you will never have an original idea.
So exactly.
And he said, if you're going to do it and you're going to take somebody's work, you better make sure you do it better. So that's why I don't have a big problem with it.
Because
I
get it.
I did it better. I got 17 million more views than she did.
Thank you very much for counting. Yeah. I like that math. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
Now, because Julie went on, she went viral with this, and she's making fun of the ways that guys propose when they don't pop the hips and they're slouched over kind of like a troll.
People are going to hate.
Right. So let's read some of those comments.
Right.
Julie reads her mean tweets.
Right. So the first one is, don't worry, the proposal won't happen anyway. Ouch.
Aww.
I've been in a long relationship. It's coming.
You're not
deserving of love, is what they're saying. Okay.
That's not nice.
Yeah. This person said, are you a Capricorn? What does that have to do with anything?
I'm a Capricorn. What did they say with that after?
Right. I said nope, and that's all they had to say.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, maybe they just liked you.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought Capricorns were nice.
You could have been their fire sign.
Right.
You don't know.
Maybe.
Right.
Maybe. Right. I liked this one from Intuit TurboTax.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Yep.
What?
Yep. They said, if I get proposed to, I'm just happy to be filing jointly, honestly.
I like it when real companies have somebody snarky behind the stuff.
Me too.
They're doing something cutesy.
Yeah. Right. And brilliant. Earth, who's a brand that makes engagement rings, said, posture, babe, posture. And I was really excited about that.
See? So they're giving you a tip of the cap. They should send you a free ring.
That's what I said. Raven, my boyfriend.
Aaron.
Yeah. He was like, send the ring.
Right.
Right.
Sweating
about I'm on your side also. Thank you.
Right.
And Aaron.
The last funny one that I had was, imagine me coming up to you with this sincerity from my heart, and then you do this.
Well, right.
What, tell him to correct his posture?
I mean, you look like a weirdo when you're hunched over like that. Just get on one knee like a normal person. Have we learned nothing from Prince Charming?
Everybody knows that if you have good posture, you are sincere.
Yeah.
Right? And if you don't, then forget it. It's all lies anyways.
Well, guess what? We have a proposal expert. That's a real job that somebody has. And the way you should and should not do a proposal, it's coming up next. What happens when you go viral with 27 million hits and it's all because you're telling people the right and wrong way to propose? That's exactly what happened to producer Julie. Jasmine Galloway is New England's marriage proposal planner. You can find her online at jasminerosevents.com. Now, Jasmine, what I don't think producer Julie told you is that she went viral this past weekend. She has over 27 million views on a video she posted on TikTok where she's correcting men on how to propose to women, saying, don't be hunched over like a troll, right?
Yep, don't look like a hunchback.
Oh, I love that. I think I actually saw that.
Yeah. So everybody saw Julie now. Julie's a big deal.
All right, so Jasmine, what are the right and wrong ways to propose to somebody? Because I know that's what you do, is you help plan them.
Yeah, Jasmine, I mean, honestly, if I had known you years ago, you could have saved me a whole lot of headaches in the retelling of that story.
Yeah, you know, frankly, I probably could have saved my husband a couple headaches as well when he was proposing to me a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. But I think in terms of the right and wrong way, I would say definitely be big, be tall. But when you are planning a proposal, you have to be intentional. Like, you can't necessarily overthink it. You have to at least figure out what to say, what the ring size is, have a Pinterest board. And frankly, most guys don't do that. But that's why they have best friends, they have family, hopefully that you can lean on, that you can talk to. But I think the first and foremost is just stay true to who you are.
Well, see, Jasmine, I did that. Mm. And so therefore, I didn't talk to any of the friends, come up with a plan or whatever. I stayed true to myself, which was I figured I got the ring and I'll just get down on one knee and that'll be enough. And that was definitely not enough. Like, I mean, I should have paid attention to the hints that she was dropping to me.
A lot of the comments on my post are that people don't actually say, "Will you marry me?" So that's important that you say that they should have like a speech ready to go and all of that.
They should. And I would say that most of the common things that are missed when proposal planning are the logistics of those things. Timing, location, having something written down. It's a very nerve-wracking experience for good reason. I feel like once the proposer has the ring in his pocket or in their pocket, it's burning a hole. Like, they just want to get it out.
That's a guy thing.
They just want to get it over with.
Yeah, no, it's a guy thing. Yeah, we can't even think once we get the ring. Once the ring is in stock, everything else kind of falls by the wayside. It's tough to function, really.
Jasmine, so if you're in a situation where maybe you're not the guy who's holding on to the ring right now listening to this, but you're the person that's being proposed to, how can you drop subtle hints like, no, I don't want to get engaged at a baseball game. I don't want it to be public. I want something private. Don't do it in front of my family. Do you just come right out and say what you're looking for?
Yeah, you got to be straightforward. Hopefully your partner knows you well enough to know what makes a meaningful proposal to you. I think a lot of people can also get caught up on looking at the proposals online that are like Instagram worthy, and everyone wants those viral moments. So if you know your partner, just be blunt. I think it's completely fine for you to have those conversations and to kind of drop those almost not so subtle hints, but truly proposals should be meaningful and intentional to that person.
Don't worry about the show. Talk directly to them.
I know that my husband worked so hard on what to say, and I don't remember a single thing.
Right.
The minute that he got on one knee, everything else is a blur. All I remember is just being like, "Give me the ring! Put it on my finger!" That was the end of it.
It goes right there! Put it right there!
Yeah.
All right. If you need some help planning the perfect proposal, you can reach out to Jasmine Galloway. Her website is jasmineroseevents.com. Jasmine, thank you for taking the time. We appreciate it. Is it an incentive or is it a bribe? What if your kids could rack up free donuts by getting A's? Well, turns out they 100% can. A man went viral for saying this.
Working at Krispy Kreme, I found out that we give free donuts to anybody who has A's on their report card. But the loophole is we are not allowed to ask you if you currently go to the school or not. So if you show us a report card of any kind with an A on it, we have to give you a donut. And also, we give you a free donut for however many A's are on that report card.
Okay, now, I've done some research on this.
Oh, I am going to fake a report card.
100%.
Yep.
Yeah. And a lot of people have, and they've posted it to TikTok, and they've shaved themselves so they look younger, and they have faked a report card, or they've dug up an old one, or whatever.
That.
Now, the chain, Krispy Kreme, says that only students in kindergarten through 12th grade are eligible. So if you're in college, you're out of luck, which is sad. Also, I was thinking about having our boss write us a letter about how good we are and give us A's, but that doesn't work either.
No, okay. No. All right, good to know.
Now, in order to get the free donuts, the student has to be there. So that means that...
I can't walk in with all my kids' report cards
and be like, "Hook me up!
Yeah.
Give me all your donuts!"
Yeah, that's a shame, I guess, right?
Yeah, and they say, Krispy Kreme, that the report cards have to be for the current term, means that, like, last year's report cards...
Now that feels wrong. All right.
So you like can't go digging through your closet and try to find
one. If I just found out about this now, and I've been a straight-A student for years, right?
Nope, only now. And he said as many as you can get up to six. So if you get six A's on your report card, you can get six donuts, but only up to six. That's what Krispy Kreme has confirmed. And they said this is nothing new. They said they've been doing this for over 25 years. years they've been doing it.
I think it's a thing that they just didn't publish, right? Like, it's almost like a secret menu item. It's one of the things they do that's cool.
Yeah. And they also remind and encourage all of their shops to participate, because if a shop says we don't do that, there's nothing you can do.
Mm.
Right.
Well, that's sad.
But I was thinking about it and I was like, time out, hold up, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. What happened to you work hard in school to get good grades because that's what you're supposed to do and that's your job as a kid?
That's yesterday. That's not now. Right, mm-hmm. Anna? Like, I mean, there's so much give and take. There's so much negotiation. How many experts do we talk about? It's all about negotiating the right deal with your kids, right? So, I mean, I'll just say this. I don't mean to poo-poo any of it. If you've got something that's effective with your kids, great. If it's working in your household and creates less tension and creates what you deem to be more success, then that's great, right? You should continue doing that. On the other hand, when you start paying somebody, do they ever ask for a reduction? No. They always want more. So if you pay me for anything, I look at that as we got to negotiate.
I find it fascinating because when I was growing up, my parents just demanded that I get good grades and that I work hard.
Absolutely.
School. There was no reward. My 16-year-old, when she gets her report card, she quickly goes to Nona's house because Nona pays $20 an A.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's like, Nona. And I'm like, Ma, why do you, what do you do? She's like, she works so hard. I go, I worked hard too.
Right. Where's your reward?
Maybe I should go dig up those.
No, your reward is childcare at this point.
Yes.
Right? You're not getting any more reward. But I mean, I would say that that's not terrible because it's not you. Grandparents are different. We have our own rules.
Here's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think that kids should be rewarded for getting good grades, or should they just get good grades because they're working hard and that's their job as children in school? Krispy Kreme gives your child a free donut for every A on their report card up to 6. They've been doing it for 25 years. It's just going viral now. People had no idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great policy. I love it. There's a lot of controversy as whether or not parents should offer some sort of reward. But I will just say this. As an uncle, you can always come to me. I just got a text message from my nephew right now. Like, listen, if you got A's, you can hit me up. I will buy.
Yeah, right. You mean you will drive and then you will eat the free donuts?
No, I'll buy. Uh-huh. I'll send you money.
Okay. But it comes to the bigger question is, do you reward your kids for doing well on the report card, or do you just expect them to because that's their job as kids? What do you think, John? Do you incentivize your children, give them rewards for good grades?
Absolutely wrong. You cannot reward A's because you have to. If you're going to reward these children, these students, mm-hmm. it should be for doing their best. Not for getting A's, because not all kids can get A's. Mm-hmm.
Do they still have the effort on report cards? Anna, you see report cards
still
at this point.
It's funny because I forgot to pull up my daughter's, my little one.
Yeah.
She's in first grade, and I just pulled it up right now to go see how she did. Yeah, they don't. It depends on the grade. Like, when they're little like that, they don't get A, B, C's. You know, they get...
It's like a check or an incomplete, right?
For the most part. Are they on level with everybody else?
Right.
Are they underperforming, overperforming, that kind of thing?
But it doesn't say anything about...
There's so much pressure on these kids to get A's. It's ridiculous. I mean, my daughter gets all A's, and she gets a 75, and she's hysterical crying, and I just ask her if she did her best.
Yeah, it's hard.
And that's all you can do.
Yeah, these high school kids are under so much pressure, especially like to try to get into college. It's like nothing I've ever seen before in my life.
And all that is important. On the other hand, striving to be great or the best at something is also important, right?
For donuts.
Karen, what do you think? Incentivizing your kids' grades. Good idea, bad idea?
Right. Well, my son's 26 now, but I did pay for, he got $20 for A's and $10 for B's, C's, nothing. The reason was, we all want to get money. Everybody wants something. And he was going to ask me for money anyhow. So I just figured it was a win-win.
Yeah, I mean, when you know that you're the person that's providing their money anyways, it does make a bit of a difference. And
exactly.
As parents, we're all providing money to our kids.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what the situation
exactly.
is, if they have a job, anything like that. You're still providing money to your kids.
But at least if you incentivize them and you give them a reason to get good grades and then they're using their own money to buy the stuff, it's not like you just gave them cash to go get whatever.
Right, like you feel like you're getting something out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
$10 for a B?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
C's, you get nothing, though. Stacey, what do you say? Rewarding or, you know, incentivizing your kids to get good grades? Yes, no?
Well, it's good. It's good to get to, you know, just to let them know that you're proud of them. But my big thing is, so when I got an A, I would get like the glory. But when I didn't, then I heard it. And my sister would get C's all the time. And she would never get the riot act if she didn't bring home an A. And my father is like, but she's a C student. She does the best she can.
Yeah.
I know you could do better. So it's like, what happens if you have other kids that are doing the best they can and they're not bringing home the A?
Yeah.
Where does that leave them? So I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I think saying you're proud, but they always say don't just put the A work on the refrigerator.
Right.
Put the C's and the P's so that they don't feel like they're not good enough if they don't achieve an A.
I mean, Krispy Kreme should definitely rethink their policy.
Right, they give you a donut hole for a C. Right, like you get the Munchkins for a C. Listen, you're right. And, you know, our parents, they all tried their best, I'm sure, like most parents do, but they were all screwed up. we just didn't have the information.
Don't act like that doesn't happen now.
No,
the competition
of course it does.
Between
yes.
siblings, of
yes.
course.
And it feels like favoritism, and it looks like that. And listen, if it feels and looks like it, then it is, mm-hmm. right? That's, you know, exactly how the other yeah. kid is taking it. So you're right. Very
Thanks,
good
Stacey.
Point.
And is that A student? Is the A student going to share the donuts with the C student sibling? I hope so.
No, probably not. Probably not. No, they're the boss.
Definitely not.
What couple?
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 30% off paints and stains now through April 7th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. It's Drew and Isabella. Isabella, what's going on?
Well, my 15-year-old daughter came home and she had this giant hickey on her neck. And I really feel like we need to call her, quote-unquote, her boyfriend, which I don't even believe in that. For teenagers, but I feel like we need to call her boyfriend's parents and let them know what happened and really come up with a plan to prevent this from happening again. I'm like, I'm so terrified. I'm so disgusted. And I cannot believe my daughter is walking around with this big red purple hickey on her neck that she has to go to school. She had to miss church because I didn't want to take her to church with the hickey on her neck. Because it's a reflection of me as well, in a sense. I'm just, it's embarrassing and it's super inappropriate. And I really want to talk to the boyfriend's parents.
Okay.
Drew, what's your side of this?
Listen, I'm not the boyfriend's dad, first of all. Second of all, it's a bit, you're kind of crossing the line of a boundary to me. I trust our daughter, all right? And I'm not going to embarrass her boyfriend and make them even more rebellious and push them away. All right. I believe that my daughter makes her own decisions, our daughter, and it's not up to me to parent her boyfriend, but it is up to me to talk to her. And I believe that I don't want to get in between their relationship. It's not my job as a parent.
To get between what? The relationship of the boyfriend and his parents? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. I trust my daughter with the conversation that we had, and it's not up to me to talk to the boyfriend's parents about how their son should be acting.
But will you talk to the boyfriend yourself? Or are you going to talk to the boyfriend? Or just in general, you feel like you talk to your daughter and she'll handle it and that's it?
I think if I have to talk to the boyfriend, I will. But I do trust our daughter. And she, you know, reassured me that it wasn't going to happen again. And listen, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt.
I don't know. You know, right?
Like, wow.
Your daughter is in that position with this person. It's a, maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. Anything's possible.
So do you know his parents, Isabella? Like, have you met them before?
I know of them. The boyfriend plays basketball. So I've seen them at games before. But we have not met officially. But I really think this is a good time. Like, I just feel like it's so crazy. My husband and I are not seeing eye to eye on this. Like, do you want to become grandparents? Like, I feel like we need to put this on her boyfriend's parents' radar so they, too, can have a responsibility in making sure that these kids aren't crossing boundaries that they shouldn't cross. I think this needs to be on everybody's radar, not just ours.
All right, fair enough. What do you think? Is Isabella wrong for wanting to call the boyfriend's parents and letting them know what happened and why she's unhappy with him? If your daughter came home with a hickey on her neck, would you call the boyfriend's parents and get them involved?
Because Isabella says, yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. Isabella and Drew have a 15-year-old daughter. They are embarrassed by the whole thing. And they've talked to her at length about it. And she knows, like, it's unacceptable. But Isabella said, that's not enough. We need to reach out to his parents so they're aware of what has happened as well.
Yeah, she wants it on their radar. Drew says, it's not our job to parent the boyfriend, right? Like, you know, if anything, possibly have a conversation with him here. But we're not going to call the parents. Like, that's ridiculous. I feel like we're overstepping.
What do you think? What would you do? John, whose side are you on?
I'm kind of in the middle of the road, but I guess I'm a little bit more towards her side. Mm-hmm. I don't think they should get in touch with the parents before there's a bun in the oven. I think they should sit Mr. Basketball Player down and scare the living daylights out of him and let him know what the guidelines are, and that behavior was not acceptable to them, and then let him go back to his parents and complain about them, and that might be the crossroad where the parents can sit down and talk.
Mm. Maybe.
There's no world where that son goes to confess to his parents what has happened under any circumstances. I don't think, anyway.
Wait, I've seen this on a sitcom before. What's bothering you, son? Well, you know, my girlfriend's parents, they sat me down for a talk today, Dad.
Right, because I gave her a giant hickey in her neck. Right.
Well,
no, it's never coming out of his mouth.
Let's use this as a teaching lesson.
If your 15-year-old came home with a hickey on her neck, would you get so mad that you would call the boyfriend's parents to let him know? That's what's going on with Drew and Isabella. And Isabella says, I don't care that we already yelled at her. I don't care we already had a conversation with her. This is humiliating, embarrassing, and his parents should know, too.
You know, on the other side of that, too, is I'm not even sure it's totally about humiliation or discipline. It's about the fact that she's concerned, like, where does this go? If we say nothing, if the parents are unaware, what is the rest of their behavior? Drew says, though, it's not my job to police her boyfriend, right? Like, I shouldn't get involved in this. It's overstepping grounds. It's interesting, I have to say, Anna, the opinions that we've gotten here. I mean, some of these calls, the people, I was very surprised on the dad's side in this regard.
Well, even Cassandra wrote on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, I'm on the dad's side. You parent your own child. And honestly, a hickey is not a big deal as a teen. Give me a break. Are they attractive? No. I didn't even know people still did that.
Yeah.
I thought that was a 1987 thing.
Kaylee was a young mom, and she said, you know what? I wish that my parents had talked to me more instead of just trying to give me rules when, you know, I was still with my person, because, you know, maybe I wouldn't have distanced myself so much from my family in that regard.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the mom side. The boyfriend's parents have a responsibility to supervise children that are at their house, and clearly they're not. So if they're unable to do that, then the daughter shouldn't be allowed there.
Yeah.
But yeah, they definitely should talk to them.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Listen, like, I mean, we don't have to be prude and act like they're not going to make out or whatever. But, you know, this shows a lack of tact and respect as well. Like, you know, that's a whole thing. All of these are important.
And also, if the shoe was on the other foot, I would want to know that my son was doing that. I like, it feels like something I should know as a parent.
Yeah, like you would want to discuss that with your son, right?
Correct.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Isabella, our audience agreed with you today. Letting the parents know is important because it takes two to tango, as they say. So if he was part of the situation, his parents should be aware of it.
Totally agree. You know, I plan on giving those parents a call regardless if my husband backs it up or not. But yeah, it's important. I think it takes a village to raise these children, and we all need to be aware of what's going on with them, especially when they're off by themselves.
Drew, it's not like people don't share the thoughts that, you know, you've got to trust with your daughter, and that, you know, she is asking you to not do this, then no, you want to be respectful of that. At the same time, like, you guys are the parents, and they need to know that that type of behavior is not acceptable right now. It's best to put his parents on notice as well.
Yeah, no, I respect the decision, and I'll be there during the call. And I definitely still don't want to cross that boundary of telling them how to parent their son, but I do believe it's important to have that conversation as well with the boyfriend and to be on the same page and tell them what's acceptable in our household.
Okay, if you have a problem too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $700. Okay, Lainey, you ready to play today?
Yes!
I heard you got your bestie, co-worker Joyce with you. Is that true?
That is true.
All right, I'm leaving it up to you two. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, you two.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, let's wait for Raven to leave. That door's got to close so he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Ready.
All right, let's do this. I'd love to give you some cash today. Number one, Kylie Kelce posted a picture of their newborn daughter and titled it, Whoomp, There She Is. Whoomp is a 90s song by what artist?
Tag Team.
Number two, Live with Kelly and Mark is moving to a new studio in New York City, and Kelly has been in that original location for decades, over 30 years. Kelly has had 3 co-hosts before her husband. Who was her first co-host on that show?
Regis Philbin.
Number three, a Minecraft movie opens this week and stars Jack Black and Jason Momoa. What do you get when you punch a tree in Minecraft?
A sword.
Number four, sure, Lauren Sanchez is getting ready to go to space with an all-female crew, but she's also getting married to Jeff Bezos. What city will host their wedding?
Los Angeles.
And number five, Nintendo announced that Switch 2 is coming this June. Bigger screen, revamped controllers, and a price tag of about $500 with the new Mario Kart World Game Bundle. Which character is the mascot of Nintendo?
Mario.
All right, let me bring Raven back in. Three out of five for Lainey and Joyce.
Not great, not terrible. Let's see how I do. Here we go.
Number one, Kylie Kelce posted a picture of their newborn daughter and titled it Whoomp. There she is.
Mm-hmm.
Whoomp is a 90s song by what artist?
It's Tag Team.
Tag team back again.
Yep.
Let's begin. Right. Party on, party people, that makes some noise. All right, number two. Live with Kelly and Mark is moving to a new studio in New York City, and Kelly has been at that original location for over 30 years. Kelly has had 3 co-hosts before her husband. Who was the first?
Was it Regis first?
Yes, Regis Philbin. Number three, a Minecraft movie opens this week and stars Jack Black and Jason Momoa. What do you get when you punch a tree in Minecraft?
You get wood.
You get wooden logs, yep.
You get wood.
Number four, sure, Lauren Sanchez is getting ready to go to space with an all-female crew, but what city will she and Jeff Bezos host their wedding?
They get married in Venice, right?
Venice is right.
Yeah, are they buying Venice? They're just going to buy it?
No, and you know, Venice actually issued a notice because people were saying that they were going to have to close everything down. They said there's only 200 people that have been invited to this wedding.
Yeah.
They can easily do a event for 200 people and that there will be no disruptions.
What if they get there and they just decide, you know what, we're going to buy Venice?
I mean, then it was nice while we had it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Number five, Nintendo announced that Switch 2 is coming this June. Bigger screen, revamped controllers, and a price tag of about $500 with a new Mario Kart World Game Bundle.
Woo!
Which character is the mascot of Nintendo?
It's Super Mario. Mario.
Mario's right.
Yeah.
All right, ladies, he beat you 5-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Oh, it's Lainey and Joyce, and we can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time, you two. Enjoy that shirt. $800
thank
tomorrow,
you.
Anna.
I want to thank Josh, who supplied one of the questions that I used today. If you have an idea for a question, too, submit it at annaandraven.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Boy, season's greetings to you all.